Cape Talk on stage
with Peter Dirk-Ace. The low in Abu Dhabi, Peter, is 36 degrees. The high is 51.
Oh, it sounds like Lutuli House. Hey?
Do you do climate change in your show at all?
Every night is a climate change. Sometimes it's a cold audience, sometimes it's a warm audience. So I do climate change. I do believe that if we don't now in Cape Town start talking about the rising sea levels, we mustn't be surprised that if in maybe 10 years' time the Cape Flats is underwater. So much for the gangs. They better move into Clifton. You know?
Everything's got a gag line attached to it.
Well, it's also, everything's moving very quickly. I think all those timelines about, oh, well, it'll take 50 years, 60 years. You know, they said that the second coming would happen in Jerusalem. It happened in Washington, and it's Donald Trump, you know? I mean, very confusing. I mean, I have to reinvent everything that I started taking for granted after 40 years in this business, you know? Satire is a word.
There's no shortage of material, and the material comes at you and, as you say, changes with dizzying speed.
But besides the fact that some of the material is so good that I can't be better, like Trump, who can, even the people who copy Trump on the best American comedy shows, he's much better at it. And it really is frightening when there's somebody who is the ruler of the free world who says, you know, I am a genius. I'm a subtle genius. It's just beyond me. But that forces one to... I now am living in a minefield of hashtags and hate speech. So I have to reinvent my alphabet.
Yeah. Mm. And you do that in a new production, new to Cape Town, because you've had a season in Johannesburg, a very successful season. When in doubt, say darling.
Yes. Well, there are so many D words and B words and F words and K words that what do you use to say to somebody, I like you? So darling is the closest one I have. Besides the fact I live in darling, which is always brings a smile to somebody's face. And at my age, you know, I think most of my generation find it very difficult to remember names. I mean, so when in doubt, say darling. It's still... Basically, my stage is just full of boxes because I'm sorting out the wardrobe, sorting out the props room after 40 years, after 120 characters. Lots of hats, lots of glasses, lots of dresses. Lots of dresses, because Evita's got always a choice of thin, medium, and large. I don't think she'll ever see the thin again, but hopefully the medium. And out of these boxes, some, for example, P.W. Botha's hat and glasses. And then I don't say who it is. I say to the audience, who's this? And you could... You know, my generation with their nostalgic laughter. Mm. Oh, P2PV. And the young ones look like, what the hell's going on? And I stop the show and I say, don't look at me like that. You've got the news breaking in the palm of your hand. Google, if you don't know what it is, you can find it in the palm of your hand within 10 seconds. And then I do PW, but then I do PW doing his impersonation of Jacob Zuma.
You've got to give us a foretaste of that.
Because I was told in Joburg last year, that I mustn't do Jacob Zuma. And I said, am I doing him so badly? They said, no, you're white. I said, what? You're white, you can't do a black. I said, I actually am not doing a black. I am doing characters, that's my job. Male, female, and convertible. I do them, you know that. No, it's racist. You can't do it. So I thought, okay. I mean, that's what the National Party said to me all those years ago. But then I thought, how do I reinvent this? And now I've got P.W. Botha. We in the National Party suddenly become, I warn you. And it has been amazing. It's really been very interesting. I also find the Piet Koornhof nose and ears, which was always such an extraordinary character to do. Again, I have this thing in the audience where some people know who I'm talking about, some people haven't got a clue. And I said, don't worry about it, just listen to the story. But just remember that this man was responsible for many things that changed everybody's lives and maybe ended some lives. But then I used the same man with the same accent. Thank you very much. And he said, Heathrow Airport, now... sorting out who's come for political asylum and with this whole Brexit thing. And he said, no, man, Brexit, you know people. You people, man, you should get our apartheid laws, man. Get them all. Mixed Marriages Act, Immorality Act, Group Areas Act, take out black and white and put in Muslim. Well, so what does that mean? It means that I'm using material from 40 years ago against apartheid, against the way the world is going now. We'll be the only democracy left in the world, and we'll have sanctions against us from all the other right-wing fascist states.
Are you that... negative?
No, yeah. I'm not at all negative. No.
I didn't think so because
I always.
You generally, I mean, in the work that you do on stage and the work that you do off stage, community work and darling, HIV/AIDS, all that stuff, that you do because you feel that one can and should make a difference.
And I do I do suffer from terminal optimism. Just being in the theater, you can only be optimistic, because the madness of what you have over a glass of wine can end up as Les Mis. So you've got to believe that something has to work. Now, I don't want to be surprised by stupidity and horror. So I always expect the worst, hoping that the worst will not be as bad as I imagine. That's my definition of optimism. But the thing is about the new show is that I do have stories. This is what I learnt delightfully when I was doing the memoir, The Echo of a Noise, how people just listen to the story, not just the political headline and the jokey solution, quote unquote. But I speak about my experiences in Darling with the Kids, taking children to the beach for the first time. They live 12 minutes away from the sea. They've never seen the ocean, and they're 14. Their excitement when they're like 9 years old, their excitement when they're like five, taking them to the SPCA where they for the first time touch a kitten and don't cry because the kitten's just as scared as they are. But suddenly they sort of... So I want people to really, truly celebrate the fact that we are still here, in spite of the fact that it's very hard, which it should be. You know, I think if anybody thinks democracy is easy, then they've lost the plot, because it's not. It's very hard. And I think we as citizens preparing for next year's election must start doing our homework. First of all, learn how to pronounce the surnames of our cabinet ministers, which we white people cannot do. It's not good enough. You know, we've got to start working. But then again, as you say, look, I mean, the Patricia de Lille pantomime happening here in Cape Town. I mean, extraordinary how the DA can shoot itself in its foot with its borrowed AK-47.
Multiple times.
Cyril, on the other hand, is really doing a tango in front of a firing squad. And I think that's very interesting. He's still auditioning to be in my show. He's not done something wrong yet. And Julius,
so he doesn't make an appearance?
No, he is referred to. Evita refers to him because she's a member of
the family. Fondly.
Oh, but she has to. She's in the kitchen of Lutuli House, so she cooks for them. But no, there is really, truly never a dull moment. But again, it's a different way of approaching it. I mean, it was so much simpler when my tribe was in charge of the chaos. But now my tribe is not in charge of the chaos. And one of the things that Evita says to the audience is we're the luckiest people in this country, because we whites are totally irrelevant. Nobody cares about us at all. So we can do everything to make this a better place for the future. We don't need a tender. We don't need a contract. And it's a little bit of an Oprah Winfrey moment, but you can see the audience suddenly go, oh, okay, okay, that's all right. So I think little bits of happiness need to be sprinkled over the custard of negativity and bad news. We can't change the headlines, and they are going to frighten us into silence. And I will not be silent.
No, you haven't been silent for a very, very long time. People have tried. But
I might wear high-heeled shoes, but I won't be silent.
And how do you go about putting together a new show? I mean, you have an idea, or you say, well, I actually haven't done a theatre for 6 months. The bank balance needs a little bit of an inflow. Let me do a show. How do you go about it?
Do you know, it's a title. I start with a title. Now, this title, When in Doubt, Say Darling, it's been with me since 1968, when I was working for KPAB in the old days. I was the assistant PR for English drama. I lied to everybody. Said, I'm going to the Argus with the pictures, then I'd go to Sandy Bay. Okay. And my one job was when Toby Kushlick, do you remember Toby Kushlick?
Oh, I do. Duyen, darling.
Yeah, darling.
Very everyone. Darling.
Say darling to everybody. She was doing The Lion in Winter in Cape Town. And they said, obviously at the office, they said, Uni, give Kushlick to Ace. He can handle it. I was poop scared of her. I mean, she was just like extraordinary. No, darling, do this, and bossed me around. But somehow I just knew that learn from this creature. And I had a wonderful time. I really, really liked her enormously. And she was very nice to me. She gave me chocolates once. Anyway, when I was driving her to the airport.
While you were on the way to Sandy Bay. No.
On the airport, I was driving to the airport. She said, I want to buy a present, darling, into ID Booksellers, which was just under the Half Moon Theatre. Have you got a book? I said, well, Mrs. Kushlick, I've been reading books in there because I can't afford them, and I've got 6 books waiting for me. They've got bus tickets in where I stopped reading last week. I can't wait. She said, darling, darling, that's exactly what you do. So I went to the back, got up this lovely book, turned around, and she had opened a book that she said, have you got a pen? Have you got a pen? All right. To Peter, my darling Peter, from Toby Kushlick. I love you. Closed the book, walked out. It was a French book about architecture in Provence. She signed it. I had to pay for it. That was Kushlick. And then at the airport, I said to her, Mrs. Kushlick, really, you know, when you write your autobiography, you should really call it When in Doubt, Say Darling. She said, what do you mean? She didn't get it. So I've kept the title with me for all those years, and suddenly Living in Darling. And just, it just felt like the right. And I test it out on people. I don't have a show, but I say, I'm doing a show called When in Doubt, Say Darling. Immediately there's a laughter. Then I know that's the first step in the right direction.
And then you got the title, and then you decide then which you got the characters title, to populate the stage with.
Then you somehow, they sort of audition a little bit in your dreams, and you sort of, you just always know where you want to end, you know, where do you end, and how many lighting cues must you have? Because when I tour this around, even three lighting cues I don't get, because there's so little to do that by the time it comes to the final blackout, they're on their cell phones, and they don't black me out, so soon I'll be blacking myself out. But I'm working on a show for next year already. One has to work in advance. I pencil things in. I'm working on 2020. But, you know, I don't know. It's getting very, very difficult touring around, traveling around, presenting shows in different cities. I might become the satirical Stonehenge and just stay in Darling. And if you want to see me, come and see me there.
And people still do. I mean, it's remarkable.
It is
the longevity
remarkable
that Evita Cipollone has
had. It's extraordinary. And it has to be a work in progress. I mean, I keep on improving and doing new things. And the Voorkamer Fierce is back again this year after
that,
2 years away. Yeah. And we're delighted. And everybody's very excited and happy.
Voorkamer Fierce is the most wonderful collection of theatrical offerings that happen literally in people's voorkamers. People make their voorkamers available, and you go in, and there might be seven or eight of you because it's a small voorkamer, and you see often a
marvelous
piece
show
of magic or illusion
and
theater
when you buy your
or whatever.
Ticket, you don't even know who you're going to see. You know there's a list of names, but you don't know who it is. And so that's the first weekend from the 31st of August, 1st and 2nd of September. Very pleased about that.
A little bit more before we say goodbye to you about When in Doubt, Say Darling, which previews on the 7th,
yes, 7th
and 8th, and then opens officially on the 9th of August.
And I must say, even on the 9th at 3 o'clock, I'm doing a fundraiser for the Black Sash, which I'm very happy to do because they were also a great inspiration for me in the old days. I'm glad to be back at the Fugard because it is a very exceptional space as a theatre. It really... I was in London a few weeks ago doing my Echo of a Noise at the Soho Theatre for 3 weeks. And my surprise there was getting a big audience of under 30-year-olds in London, which I was amazed. And the theatre was amazed that I get so many over 65-year-olds as it is. We don't go out at night usually, but they came to me. And so, again, it was very important for me to be out of our sort of a sewerage pit of politics and just see us from the distance. And there wasn't a single word in any of the media about South Africa for 4 weeks.
Brexit and the temperature.
People need live entertainment. They're so hooked on tinned product, on television, on DVD, on all that. But live still has got that wonderful excitement that it can't be repeated. It's what you see is what you treasure for the rest of your life.
One last little bit from just choose a character, choose a moment.
Well, I end up by obviously having to do Evita Persona. I mean, it's like, you know, you've got to do it. But I put it together, the whole makeup. And then
what happened to her car, Peter?
Beautiful Cadillac. It's somewhere up in Constantia. We auctioned it off
years ago, a long time ago.
Glittering.
I remember you arriving at the Market Theatre in the 80s and that gorgeous
and
thing.
Even the security police asked for autographs from Tony Tierken. I start Evita, but then as I go into the makeup, I go into different characters. Suddenly there's Angela Merkel, with a blonde wig. Wrong famous white woman. And then the next step is Mrs. May, who's going for the full English Brexit. And then the Kugel, Noel Fine, who's all with big red hair saying, I've had Botox done and I'm going to this party tonight. And I swear to God, if I'm not sexually harassed, I'll kill myself. That went down terribly well with hashtag me too. And then Evita comes in and said, and with the false eyelashes. And I say to the men specifically, take notes. Because quite a few men said, how do you do it? Tell me how you do it. So now I'm telling them. So I did a little masterclass on putting on false eyelashes. And most of the women in the audience said, oh, we're coming again tomorrow just to make sure we know what we're doing. Ach, no. Fun. I want to fight fear with the F word. And that F word is fun.
Fun. Peter Dokes, he's been fighting fear with fun for all 40 years and more. His new show, When in Doubt Say Darling, previews on the 7th and 8th of next week at the Fugard Theatre, at the studio at the Fugard, and then two performances on Thursday the 9th. There is the particular fundraiser for Black Sash, that's at 3 o'clock, and then an evening performance. And Peter, you are there until the 25th.
Yep.
And booking is through, the Fugard doesn't do booking through CompuTicket anymore, so you either phone the box office and make an arrangement over the phone, or you go to their website, thefugard.com, and book through that. Thank you very, very much for coming in. Bye-bye.
Lekker.